and NPR.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farming Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Ulster County Master Gardener Barbara Bravo inspires us to garden with confidence and shares information on this year's Cornell Cooperative Extension event for Saturday, April 5th in Stone Ridge, New York. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report coming up on today's Farm and Country, after news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Winsor Johnston. President Trump is threatening to impose new tariffs on Canadian lumber and dairy products. Speaking from the White House on Friday, Trump cited what he said was Canada's roughly 250% tariffs on U.S. dairy exports.
Canada has been ripping us off for years on tariffs for lumber and for dairy products. 250%, nobody ever talks about that. 250% tariff, which is taking advantage of our farmers, so that's not going to happen anymore.
The administration says the U.S. is planning to match those tariffs dollar for dollar. The president has signed an executive order that attempts to make changes to who qualifies for a longstanding federal loan forgiveness program. NPR's Janaki Mehta reports student loan borrowers and advocates are vowing to file a legal challenge.
The federal government's Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, known as PSLF, has been in place since 2007. It forgives a portion of loans for employees who work in the public sector or for nonprofits after they've completed 10 years of service and 120 qualifying payments. What's left of their debt after that is forgiven by the government. Now, President Trump's executive order is attempting to limit who qualifies for the program. The order says PSLF would exclude, quote, individuals employed by organizations whose activities have a substantial illegal purpose. Legal expert Persis Yu of the Student Borrower Protection Center, a nonprofit that advocates for student loan borrowers, says any steps the Trump administration takes to modify the law would require a lengthy federal rulemaking process. Janaki Mehta, NPR News.
A top aerospace firm says it's disabled access by Ukrainians to satellite imagery as part of the Trump administration's freeze on intelligence sharing with Ukraine. NPR's Joanna Kikissis reports there are also fears that Trump ally Elon Musk could also suspend use of his Starlink internet service on the battlefield.
Maxar Technologies provides satellite images and geospatial data to the U.S. and other nations through contracts. Maxar said in a statement that the U.S. government has suspended Ukrainian accounts in a program that provides commercial satellite imagery. In a statement on Telegram, the Ukrainian cyber community site Cyberborochno said users in this program got access to information that helped track the movement of Russian forces and Russia's use of strategic facilities. Meanwhile, Starlink helps the Ukrainian military communicate and spot Russian drones. The French satellite service Eutelsat is offering to replace Starlink in Ukraine. Joanna Kikissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
This is NPR News.
Hi, this is Callison Stratton, host of Liberation Station, airing Saturday nights at 7 o'clock only on Radio Catskill. This week, we are celebrating International Women's Day with some powerhouse voices from the past and present, from Janis Joplin to Beyoncé. Tune in this Saturday night at 7 o'clock for Liberation Station, right after This American Life, only on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org, and from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, Ulster County Master Gardener Barbara Bravo inspires us to garden with confidence and shares information on this year's Cornell Cooperative Extension event for Saturday, April 5th in Stone Ridge, New York. But first, here is Keith Hubbard with this week's Star Talk Report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. There will be a great opportunity early Friday morning to see a total lunar eclipse. We will be able to witness the moon enter Earth's inner shadow, reach maximum eclipse, and exit Earth's inner shadow over the course of nearly 3.5 hours early Friday morning. The eclipse will begin at 1:10 a.m. when the moon enters Earth's inner shadow, called the umbra. The moon will begin to darken from the lower left side. The moon will begin to take on a red hue as the darkness will sweep across the moon. The total eclipse will begin at 2:26 a.m. when the moon is completely in Earth's umbra. The total eclipse will last for nearly 65 minutes, with the maximum eclipse occurring at 2:59 a.m. The moon will start to exit Earth's umbra at 3:31 a.m. As the moon exits the umbra, it will begin to lighten from the upper left side first and will lose its red hue. At 4:48 a.m., the moon will be fully out of Earth's shadow and the eclipse will end. A lunar eclipse occurs when Earth is positioned directly between the sun and the moon. But a lunar eclipse does not occur at every full moon due to the moon's tilted orbit around Earth. Most of the time, the moon passes to the north or to the south of Earth's shadow. On early Friday morning, a total lunar eclipse will begin at 2:26 a.m. and will last for nearly 65 minutes.
For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. I'm speaking online with Ulster County Cornell Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Volunteer Barbara Bravo. It's time for gardeners to garden with confidence, an event that's coming up in April. But she's going to give us all the details with that. Barbara, say hello to the audience and we'll chat up this annual event.
Hi, Rosie. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the program. I can't wait. Spring is just around the corner. It will come, and we'll all be delighted to see new growth and trees budding out. My name is Barbara Bravo. I'm a Master Gardener Volunteer with Cornell Cooperative Extension, Ulster County. I am the coordinator for Garden Day.
It's an annual event, and it looks like the title for this year is Garden with Confidence.
Garden Day is going to be on Saturday, April 5th. It's held at the SUNY Ulster, which is the Stone Ridge campus, where the community college is located. And the program will begin at 8:30 a.m., and we'll be wrapping up at about 4 p.m. When you think about all of the classes that we're offering, they're hitting on so many different topics and area of gardening, and they are designed to give you that initiative, give you that sense of confidence that you can go out and tackle whatever it is that you need to tackle. That's what we're hoping to convey in all of the classes that we're offering. And we have classes that will address issues. And we're going to have some classes that are, I think, fun. That's the way we design it, and we hope that everybody benefits from it.
You offer a lecture-based presentation. It's not so much hands-on, but you also offer science-based information because you are with Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Yeah, Rosie, that's correct. Some of our training is to focus on science-based information. So we won't really be getting into folkloric information, you know, the kinds of things that, well, my grandmother used to say, do this, do that. We won't be doing that as much as we will be focusing on approved methodologies, things that have scientifically been tested. But then again, we are doing some things that are purely going to be based on the Master Gardener's experience, such as we have one Master Gardener that's doing a whole class on potted plants and hanging baskets. And that's going to be based on her real life experience with a little bit of science thrown in, I'm sure.
There are 16 presentations to choose from. I think you have 4 sessions.
Oh, everyone who registers will be invited to the auditorium where we will have a keynote speaker, and that's from 9 to 10, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. And then after that, we have 4 sessions, and each session has 4 classes. So when you register, you get to choose 1 class in each of the 4 sessions. We'll have 16 in all, but everyone who registers can really only choose 4.
The keynote speaker, who's coming?
Michael Hagen is the curator of the Native Plant Garden and the Rock Garden at New York Botanical Gardens. He's a instructor at Westchester Community College. He lectures on sustainability, native plant propagation, and gardening with native plants. And today we've become really aware of the importance of attracting pollinators to our gardens and supporting them, giving them the food types that they need, pollen and nectar, and how to help this community of insects really begin to thrive again. They're in such dire straits now. The insect population has been dwindling, and they're a very important part of the ecosystem and a very important part of providing food for us. And he's going to be talking about the history of the native plant garden at the NYBG, which really was founded back in the 1930s. And over the decades, of course, it has had to evolve and change, and different administrators have had their imprint on it. And the most recent changes that occurred in 2013, which was a revamping of a 3.5-acre native plant garden. But what he'll really be focusing on is the maintenance strategies, the challenges that are presented, and lessons learned over the past decades. I think this is a really good way of anchoring us in reality when it comes to creating pollinator meadows or pollinator gardens. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
It's very important now, more than ever, to have folks hearing that information. And I see that you have a class that will complement that, the how and why of creating a habitat for beneficial insects and pollinators.
Yeah, we do. And we want to convey that information. We want people to be current so that they know what they can do and how to go about it to begin to either expand, improve, or even if they're just starting a new kind of garden for the benefit of insects and pollinators. So that class will really be a terrific insight into how you go about doing this. In addition to that, we do have a class that is based on experience. The Master Gardeners have been, over the past 3 years, building a native pollinator meadow down at the college. And the Master Gardeners who are in charge of that project will be presenting on it. And it's really, again, to be an honest view of what has happened and how it has to happen And then again, the challenges that it will demand. There's often a lot of magazine articles or books, and they make it sound like, oh, easy peasy. You just go out there and throw some seeds around. But it's not quite that easy. So establishing a native pollinator meadow will be really giving an overview of our personal experience in embarking on that endeavor.
I like that. The goal for that is to enhance biodiversity, and that is so important now, the awareness of actively doing that on the property. Color theory for gardeners, that sounds interesting.
We had that class last year, and it was such a phenomenal hit that we decided we needed to do another one, but maybe make it like a little bit more advanced. We're calling it Color Theory 2 for gardeners. I find a lot of gardeners are also very creative artistically, and I think this is complementary for them, but it's really for anybody. So it's going to be looking at color and exploring color and using masterpieces like Van Gogh's paintings and Seurat's to really understand how these are helpful to learn about monochromatic schemes, complementary schemes, or analogous colors, all to make the garden less haphazard. Most of us, I think, who are gardeners, we go to the plant nurseries and whatever catches our eyes goes into our basket to take home. And this will help us to kind of be a little bit more thoughtful about the process, about how things work together for the best effect.
Well, that also might be a complementary class to the fabulous foliage year-round.
This is our one class that's being presented by an outside landscape designer. She's been in business for many, many years and really knows her stuff. So she's really going to focus on how we can not rely on flowers, but to look more carefully at texture and leaf color in combinations that will really work in a garden and be very eye-catching. So something like combining ferns, which are very delicate, with something that might be bigger and bulkier, some coarser material. So, and how you can combine these things to really have a very effective kind of garden that's captivating, even though you're not relying on flowers. And this is especially good for people who have a lot of shade. And a lot of the things that she'll be talking about will be applicable to shady gardens.
So you also present a class. Which one are you doing this year?
So this year I decided to tackle a rather broad topic. I call it the good, the bad, and the buggy. And it's identifying plant problems and offering some solutions. It's a big field, so it's really going to be touching on a lot of different things. But I feel strongly that if a gardener can go out into their garden and observe and say, oh, look at this, something has been at this plant, and to help them investigate and be, you know, be that detective to decide, oh, well, this looks like it was caused by, say, an insect that pierces the leaf and sucks out the nutrients. You know, to be able to decipher that goes a long way to identifying what's going on with the plant and what insect might be doing that. Then we'll also be covering the difference between insects that are harmful and insects that are beneficial. So we want to always take actions that are not going to be harmful to the population of insects. It's kind of narrowing down the field. And then we want to focus on methods of preventing too much damage, but to do it in a responsible way, which means looking at it from all kinds of other perspectives, not reaching for chemicals, because chemicals are, it's like bringing the big guns to a small problem. We'll be focusing a lot on that. Same thing with diseases. We'll hit on some diseases, some common diseases, and what kind of management is available for that.
It is a good topic, and it sounds like it might be a good companion to the presentation on invasive plants.
Oh, yeah, I think all of us are dealing with that now, aren't we? It's opportunistic. Some of them we have brought in ourselves for decorative reasons in the ornamental garden. We have World Trade, and they just hitchhike. We're going to be taking a look at that and identifying them and then figuring out ways to really work smarter. How do you actually take this invasive plant and limit its spread, or how to cut it back, keep it out of certain garden areas? So again, it's a matter of identifying, really knowing what you've got on your hands, and then different methodologies on how to control it or to eradicate it if that's possible.
Another that I think is a very important subject is cover crops for beginners, building healthy soil.
It really is. The vegetable garden is not usually active all year round, so cover crops are really important to help build healthy soil. And in this class, and again, it's going to be very gentle, it will be for beginners, the kinds of cover crops you want to include in your gardens, how you cut them down, when to cut them down, whether you turn them into the soil or you leave them on the surface. There's all different ways of dealing with cover crops. The most important thing about them is boosting the health of the soil, and it also prevents soil erosion. We can spend years developing really good garden soil, but if you leave it bare, over the winter, and if we didn't get snow coverage, thank God we've got some this year, it's subject to erosion from wind and rain pounding it down and compacting it. So all of that is an understanding of soil and how to keep it healthy, and cover crops play right into that role.
So classes that hit my eye, exploring edible flowers, let's talk heirloom tomatoes, and cultivating mushrooms.
Those are the fun classes.
Yeah, for those of us that like to cook and go out and pick while we're gardening.
The herb class, including edible flowers, you may have seen, especially if you go to a kind of an upscale restaurant and you get served a salad, there are flowers in it and they're beautiful. They just add color and sparkle, and they are definitely edible. I mean, violets are edible, and they grow wild around here in my property. Calendula is edible. There's lots of edible flowers. So this will highlight those and all the different kinds of herbs that are easily grown in a garden and how to incorporate them on a regular basis. Sometimes I'm guilty of growing some herbs and then I forget to go out and harvest them and use them. So I think this class would really be encouraging people to incorporate them into their, you know, their everyday cookery. And the mushrooms, I think that's going to be a really great class. Because not only is it going to go over the ecology of mushrooms, and it'll hit on some of the really popular ones that you'd be seeing in a greengrocer store, like shiitake and oyster, which are very pricey mushrooms. They'll be talking about how to cultivate them, comparing them to wild mushrooms, and then they're going to do a demonstration. They're going to bring in an inoculated log, and they're going to talk about how you can grow your own mushrooms. It might be just the thing to get you to start growing your own mushrooms. Oh, the tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes. I know I have tried so often to grow heirloom tomatoes and have been disappointed. So Michael Hughes, who's teaching this class, is a former chef. So I think he's got a lot of experience with tomatoes. And he is going to be talking about the right kind of seeds and how to choose what's best for our particular area and the different types of tomatoes that are out there. And he's even going to touch on diseases and prevention, which is really important with heirloom tomatoes. They have some natural inhibitions against disease, but some of them not so much. So I think he'll be able to address that problem.
And I love that you offer a presentation on pruning shrubs and trees. People are always looking for that information. Those skills are important.
They really are. I mean, plants actually do so much better if they've been pruned properly. Even with trees, I mean, fruit trees in particular, they really require pruning and to keep them, the canopy open so there's good air circulation so the sunlight can reach, you know, all of those growing fruits and how to, you know, manage that. Same thing with shrubs and roses. There's many things. They just do so much better with a little bit of pruning. And pruning can be intimidating. You know, you have your pruners in hand, you go out, you start looking at something, and you say, oh my God, I don't know where to start. So hopefully this class will help novice and even experienced people to learn the proper way to prune. And then they can just go home and practice. I do want to point out this program will even be of use to people who don't have large gardens. Maybe they actually live in a co-op. They only have a terrace or a small porch or something. And one of our classes is going to be about designing and planting pots and hanging baskets with annuals. So this could be a fun class for people who really want to still get their hands dirty, but maybe they just don't have a lot of space. So there's no excuse. Everybody can garden. They'll be digging into what's out there, the kind of annuals best grown in pots and baskets, learn about containers and the fertilizers and different techniques to really get those pots and hanging baskets thriving from spring until fall.
Now, before we close, can you tell us the deadline for registration? Do you have a deadline?
Registration is open now. You register online. And if you have a problem with that, you can always call the office. The number is published. You can call and somebody will help you. They'll walk you through. But the registration deadline is March 26th. So we need to have all of the registrations in hand by that date. Garden Day is going to be on Saturday, April 5th. It's held at the SUNY Ulster, the Stone Ridge campus, where the community college is located. And the program will begin at 8:30 a.m. and we'll be wrapping up at about 4 p.m. We are only taking registration online, so people can put in their search engine CCE Ulster, and then that will take them to our website, and all they have to do is click through the events to find Garden Day. And when you click on that, the whole program will open up with the appropriate page to register. So the cost is $55 for the day. And if you want to include a box lunch, which we will be getting from Stone Soup in Kingston, that's another $12. So the total would be $67 if you wanted to include lunch. But you can always bring your own. If anybody has like special needs, you know, some folks have mobility issues, they can always let us know at the office and we will do our best to accommodate them. At the college, there are some accommodations already in place for people with some issues. So we do our best to accommodate everybody, whether they're new to gardening, they've been gardening for years, or they're very experienced. We like to say we believe we have something for everybody.
You absolutely do. I think we've given the audience some initiative to be confident to go online and sign up. Thank you very much for your expertise and your volunteer work as a master gardener to highlight this event. Have a great growing season.
Thanks again.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guest, Barbara Bravo, Master Gardener, Cornell Cooperative Extension, Ulster County, for speaking to us on the topic of the April 5th, 2025 Garden Day event. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill. Listen to us on air and on your smartphone. Stream us live and on our webpage, wjffradio.org.